Here comes the sun. Da 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 da. Here comes the sun. Da da da. It's on the radio.
On the radio.
Why, good afternoon, fair listeners, on this exciting springy membership day.
Yes. Good afternoon, listeners. This is Gypsy Jim. James Steinler. I was just doing my radio show, but now I'm here with Raleigh on Everything Under the Sun.
I'm Raleigh Burley. I was just enjoying that radio show very much.
Thank you.
Great choices of music. And welcome as co-host of Everything Under the Sun. I imagine you're going to be hosting this show quite often into the future. So let's begin, James, by introducing you. I'm sure people have seen your name in the paper. Maybe they've seen your picture in the paper twice this week.
That's right. That's right. I am a freelance journalist, contributor to the Soprous Sun. The Soprous Sun has cultivated me as a journalist and given me opportunities to develop my skills. And I hope that the readers out there and community members enjoy the articles and enjoy the news that my portion. And it's just been a real pleasure to jump on board with the previous editor, Will Grandbois, and now with Raleigh Burley. And it's just it's beautiful paper. It's great to see it expanded. Really excited to see the Spanish insert as well these days.
And tell us a little bit about your background, where you came from and what you did previous.
Yeah. I am, all over the place. I was born in British Columbia, way back, but I did grow up here in the Roaring Fork Valley before going to Fort Lewis College. And after college, I fell into criminal defense work a bit and worked for a private law firm in Glenwood Springs, and then eventually made it to the public defender's office in Durango, where I worked with young attorneys and older attorneys as well. And we, if you're familiar with Law and Order kind of radio shows, when you hear, when someone's being arrested and they say, if you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed to you. I worked for that office. It's not to be confused with the district attorney's office. It's, I guess, the opposite in ways. But it was a really amazing experience. People in that line of work on both sides, prosecution and defense, worked very hard. I got to work with people who may have been innocent and people who were certainly guilty, but with people nonetheless, and it was a great experience. I got to hone in my report writing there as well, as I'd have to interview people who were witness to a criminal case, and then write up a report on it. And so I practice writing a lot. Mm-hmm. And now I get to write about things that I find a little less stressful and but sometimes still stressful, of course. But yeah, it's just, and I feel like I found my niche with the Sun and with journalism for sure. I did initially leave the public defender's office to come and go to CMC, Colorado Mountain College, and enroll in their theater program. And I studied, and I got an associate's degree last year in theater. It was really a pleasure to jump on stage. It was something I always wanted to do, and I kind of told myself I would never do it, and then I did it, and I was so happy to. Mm-hmm. And that was also that led me to the Soprous Sun as well in ways. And the best decision I made was to move back to Carbondale, move back to the Roaring Fork Valley.
Well, and we're so grateful for your presence, taking on all kinds of stories, from history to the ongoing Michael Francisco case, and most recently, you are going to begin attending all of the Garfield County Commissioner meetings and writing about them, no matter what's on the agenda, which I think is a really important role for journalism. Even if it's not always exciting, it's important that our public officials know that people are paying attention.
Absolutely, I agree, and I'm really glad to be able to jump in on the Board of County Commissioner meeting beat, so to speak. And there is a lot of yesterday there was at least 15 things on the agenda, and you know, people come in, they speak off the agenda. It's anyone can go. That's a reminder as well to anyone else who's interested. It's in the Garfield County Administration Building across from the courthouse. Mm-hmm. So anyone who wants to go, I'll be there next Monday probably.
Yeah, if you want to hang out with James.
There's also, you could also, and likely many times I will be utilizing it myself, you could stream the Board of County Commissioner meetings as well online. Mm-hmm. And they have a great streaming service.
Yeah, super useful to have these streaming services of public meetings. I've been using that a lot for Carbondale's meetings, and that's a YouTube channel. And not only the trustees, but also all of the commissions, one of which we'll be speaking with on today's show, the Historic Preservation Commission. We'll be getting Eric Dowd and Nick Miscioni on the phone here in just a moment. Did want to remind listeners that it is Katie and Kay's spring membership drive. So if you haven't made your donation yet, there are a million reasons to do so. Among them, some really cool hat colors this year. Mm-hmm. That brought me in the door earlier today just to pick up a hat.
He's wearing it right now.
And I'm wearing it right now.
Great.
It's the color I'd always wished a Katie and Kay hat to be printed in. So come check those out, and you can call the office. Plenty of people hanging around ready to take your call, 963-0139. Anything you'd like to add, James, before we get these gentlemen on the phone?
No, not at the moment. Just happy to be here and everything under the sun with Raleigh Burley.
And we're going into our intro now that was performed by Ken Pletcher, another Super Sun correspondent.
Thank you. I realized, since I've never played this together.
Hello. All right. So that was Ken Pletcher performing Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. And I'm here with James Steinler.
This Hello.
Raleigh Burley with the Sopra Sun. And we have our guests on the phone now. So introducing Nick Michonne, who is on the Historic Preservation Commission and also the Planning and Zoning Commission for the town of Carbondale. How are you, Nick?
I'm good, Raleigh. Happy to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. And we also have Eric Dowd, who is on the Historic Preservation Commission. How are you, Eric?
I'm fine and good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So we had a article published this week, a sort of column arguing the merits of historic preservation for a town. And so Eric penned it, and it got approval from the whole Historic Preservation Commission. And it's looking a little bit at what's been done before, but also kind of expanding the reach of the Historic Preservation Commission further from just the Main Street downtown core area into other parts of the town. And so along with this, we published a photo that was taken up on White Hill, and it shows many historic structures that are still standing in Carbondale, spread away from Main Street. So, Eric, would you like to introduce what you wrote?
Yeah, it's a very general article, covers a lot of topics, the economic benefits of historic preservation to energize the town. It talks a little bit about the state credits and federal credits that are available for buildings that are either structures of merit or on the register, and then it talks about currently the only thing that has a design review for new construction or additions is the commercial core of Carbondale, and we discussed it internally. And would like to also include Old Town Residential, which is a zoning district, primarily that is residential, so that we get both a commercial and a residential component to our historic preservation in Carbondale.
Awesome. Anything that you'd like to add to that, Nick?
Well, yeah, I think it was a great article that Eric wrote, and really is bringing the topic of historic preservation to the town of Carbondale, hopefully in a more meaningful way. The historic preservation in the town of Carbondale has been around for almost 20 years and has been acting as a relatively quiet advisory committee for new development and remodels in the historic downtown area, and up until recently, there hasn't been much demand from the citizens of the town of Carbondale for the Historic Preservation Commission to step up and take a larger role in government, but what we've seen lately, I think that there's no arguing this point, that what we've seen lately in the town of Carbondale is quite a bit of new development, and it may be in the interest of the citizens of Carbondale to start thinking about how we could preserve and enhance the architectural and the social history of the town of Carbondale in a more meaningful way.
Well, this reflects very directly in an article that James recently wrote about the Dinkle Building, and the owner of that building thankfully cares for historic preservation mm-hmm. himself, but essentially if that weren't the case, we could potentially see that building, which has so much history in this town, change.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a little bit about that myself, to both of you gentlemen. Like I said, the buyers, we're lucky that he has an interest in preservation. But if he did not, say, would he, that person, he or she, have the means to tear down a building like the Dinkle Building?
You know, that's a really good question. That really is the question. Right now, the Historic Preservation Commission is really only an advisory committee, which means that as a building that's in the historic core, the developer would have to go in front of the commission and seek guidance on how to handle the development of that building. But the developer doesn't necessarily need to abide by any of the recommendations set forth by the commission.
Is there?
Could they tear it down? It would be. I think it would be. There would be some pushback on that, but I don't know that legally they would have. I think that they would be able to do that if they wanted to.
Is there any talk about changing the language to give more teeth to the commission or for historical preservation?
There is. As a matter of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Trustees are embarking on a revision to the comprehensive plan of the town of Carbondale, which is really a roadmap that lays out how the town of Carbondale would like to develop in the next 5, 10, 20 years. And, you know, the Historic Preservation Commission is attempting to play a role in the revisions and the updates of that comprehensive plan such that the HPC could play a more, have a more robust and I don't want to use the term enforcement role, but I mean, there certainly is a component of that, but have more ability to play a larger role in how historic buildings are handled.
What we see is kind of a partnership role in that development process, wherein we can, through design guidelines, assist owner to maintain the building's integrity. And ultimately, there's real value in doing that, both economically as well as culturally. And we hope that that people who own these buildings, you know, for the most part, understand that the value in our role and their role.
And so, for citizens who want to be involved in this aspect, what does the Historic Preservation Commission recommend? We know the comp plan redux will include ample public comment opportunities. But beyond that, is there something that citizens particularly interested in the historical integrity of Carbondale can do to be involved?
Well, one thing that we are highlighting is structures of merit. And those are both commercial buildings as well as residential buildings. And they occur throughout town. We're in the middle of getting our structure of merits list posted. They've been identified by four different grants that we have received from the state to do background research on these buildings. And then we're also developing a wannabe structure of merit list, so that if you have a historic structure and you want it recognized, you please contact HBC, and we will put you on a wannabe list. The walking tours is something that's currently being developed by the Historical Society, and there's four different tours that emanate from right downtown that go around and look at these structures of merit. And by designating it, your building as a structure of merit, there really isn't any obligation other than community recognition. There's no restrictions whatsoever placed on it. It's just a celebration of our historical heritage.
Was there something you wanted to add to that, Nick?
Well, first and foremost, if there are any citizens, regardless of whether they're homeowners of historic structures or not, if people are interested in the history of the town of Carbondale, I would encourage them to go to the Carbondale's Historic Preservation website and check out the information that's posted there. It's, if you web search Carbondale Historic Preservation Commission, it's the first hit. And you just have to make sure you're not going to Carbondale, Illinois. there's some confusion there sometimes, but there's a lot of really good information on the website. It also has links to the current Article 2 of the Municipal Code, establishing the Historic Preservation Commission and some of the roles and responsibilities associated with the commission. It also has links to the Carbondale Historical Society, which we work closely with, and other state and federal information. It also has links to the three historic surveys that were conducted that Eric was speaking about just a few minutes ago. There were three historic surveys that were conducted. The first one was back in 2005, and then there was one in 2010 and another one in 2016 that illustrates and describes over 100 historic structures in the town of Carbondale that are considered of merit, these structures of merit. It also has some really interesting links to some historic fire maps. So there's really, really good information on the Carbondale Historic Preservation Commission's website. That's where I would start if I was looking for more information.
All right. Great.
I have a question, gentlemen. Can you tell me just the difference between a structure of merit and a landmark structure?
Yes. Go ahead.
A structure of merit is a building that's just been identified through one of the surveys as kind of having historic integrity and a value culturally to the town. A local landmark building is somebody who has wanted to ensure that the building has a bit more strength in terms of its preservation down the line, then they can approach through the website. There is a form you can fill out to apply for a local landmark a status that then goes through our board, Historic Preservation Commission, and then to the Board of Trustees. Once you have a local landmark designation to your building, you're eligible for tax credits both from the state and the federal government. So there's an economic incentive to have a landmark. And also, if their future generations want to, for instance, tear the building down, there is additional requirements getting permission to do that through the board, and the board would either try to find a relocation for the building or alternates to the demolition.
Okay.
But ultimately, that's really up to the up to the owner.
Okay. And in my research of regarding the Dinkle building and when that was up for sale, I was told that there are actually no landmarked buildings in Carbondale. Is that true?
That's actually not true. There is one nationally landmarked structure. It's the Thompson House Museum, that's on 133, and that is a national landmark.
Okay.
I believe there's also the Hillcrest Cemetery, and then there is the Carbondale Historic Society Cabin Museum, and then up in Redstone. Drive South of Ways. There are quite a few other landmarks that are up there, you can actually obtain more information on these four buildings from the Four Rivers Historical Alliance, which we're a part. There's a link to that on the website as well. So there's some. I mean, most of the town of Carbondale is really a humble history. Mm-hmm. There are some exceptions to that. Not to say that humble history isn't worth saving. It most certainly is.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left. Any closing comments that either of you gentlemen would like to make? And how about you first, Nick?
Hello?
We hear you. Any closing comments?
Well, I think the article... is just to, first of all, let people know that there is a commission here that is interested in, saving our historical heritage. And, as Nick has said, it's been a pretty quiet commission. We are looking to develop a stronger voice in the community. We feel that our historic heritage is very important, and it's fragile. It does need stewardship, and we are present and trying to develop language to not take away people's rights to do what they want to the buildings, but to help them understand the value that they currently have, and try and nurture the development so that it protects the existing buildings and makes the new structures more appropriate for the neighborhoods that they're being
built. Well, thank you so much, Eric. We are just about out of time. Eric Dowd and Nick Michonne, thank you both so much for joining us from the Historic Preservation Commission. Big thank you to James Steinler for co-hosting. I'm Raleigh Burley.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm James Steinler.
And, thanks very much.
Thank you, guys.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll look forward to hearing more from you in the future. On now to another piece of history, the Mary Ferguson tapes rescued. This should be really exciting coming up in just a few seconds.